D&D. Does anybody really write into the show?
Some people might, dude.
Tweet at me on Twitter at Hoss underscore buddy. Do you actually care about fucking Lon D? And if so, why?
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield. A shame for this place!
Okay, you're not going to play. I just have the controller.
No. Okay, cool. That's fine. Either way, I don't care. This will be quality regardless. So this will be quality stuff. It's time for the Video Destruct Podcast. Hoss, how you doing? You're reaching for that Halo 5 controller.
No.
No. I don't want to.
I'm just hanging out, man.
Hanging out. That's great. That's right.
I'm going to turn the TV off.
How you been doing? All right.
TV's off.
TV's off. Cool. All right. Now, I mean, concentrate. Get this done.
Yeah.
For our listeners.
Content.
Content, baby. So today on the Video Destruct Podcast, as you've seen from the title probably, and the description, and all that stuff you read before you even came into it, so I don't even know why I'm trying to surprise you, we're going to be talking about the PSN and the network stuff.
I think we'll just consider this more like the launch of online multiplayer.
Yeah, because PSN, Xbox Live,
Dreamcast,
those sorts of things.
Yeah. You know, we can even talk about
we're going to talk about the N-Gage, huh? You want to talk about that one?
I mean, we can.
I mean, it was a thing. It was online.
We can talk about Satellaview.
The N-Gage, I think we should talk about because it is an interesting thing. Like, they were, it was kind of a, like, too ahead of the game. Because playing games on your phone, that's crazy talk, and it was at the time, and now that's, you know, a thing that people do, so it was sort of transient, I don't know.
Well, I mean, and then there was all that crazy stuff in Japan, like, I think it was Nintendo Network World, and then Satellaview, and all that weird, like, subscription shit, where they would, oh, we're gonna send you the first half of characters for Mortal Kombat 3, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You know, like Sega Satellite or Sega Satellite Network.
And then there was Sega Network, Sega NetLink for the Saturn, which let you play motherfucking Quake and Duke Nukem 3D and Bomberman.
Yeah, that's right, the Bomberman. All right,
like a lot of those latter era ports that for the time were like surprisingly good for the Saturn,
right? Yeah.
That had online play that was like.
Yeah.
Better than it had any right to be.
Was that the version of Bomberman where you could play for eight people?
Seven
people. Is that version? Yeah. There you go. But, but we'll be talking about all that
stuff. There have been a few versions of Bomberman that let you play an assload of players.
Yeah.
But that's just...
Like, in the old days, that was a big deal. Nowadays, it's not so much. You
can just I think two of the biggest ones are the Saturn Bomberman and, Bomberman 93 for the Turbo graphics.
Right, yeah, the Turbo graphics.
Those are like, if you were gonna, somebody came down from space and said, hey, I want to experience Bomberman.
Right.
I think you would probably go with one of those.
Go with that, yeah.
And I always liked calling Bomberman 93 1993. I like that.
Yeah. I thought the naughties were the 2000 zeros, weren't they?
I just like saying naughty.
You do like saying naughty. It's like one of your favorite words, I think.
Word.
I feel like it is. But anyway, before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about some news that happened today. This week.
Did you hear about the EA thing?
No, I didn't hear about the EA thing. Why don't we start with that?
This is motherfucking shots fired.
Yeah.
EA pulled out of E3.
Oh, that's right. I did hear about this. Yes, they pulled out of E3.
And they said...
Is E3 dying? Is this the death of E3? Is it... I don't know. Like, nobody pays much attention to it.
This is, the fourth time that E3 has started to die.
Yeah.
And then, people will either get tired of doling out the personal expense to have their own events. You know, like Activision historically pulled out after the 2007 experiment where they moved from the LA Convention Center to Santa Monica and had the event in that fucking airplane hangar that was hotter than blue shit. They when they went back to the convention center, the Activision pulled out of the Electronic Software Association. They were no longer part of the ESA.
Right.
They were not required to be a part of the ESA because most people tie the ESA and the ESRB to the same thing. They're not.
Right.
To be a part of the ESA, the Electronic Software Association, what that basically means is it's kind of like being part of a union.
Right.
Like, if somebody were to come after video games and try to legislate all of them, like they were pretty historically at that time, the idea is that the ESA will step up and get you back.
Right.
Activision had felt slighted, and they still have never signed back up with the ESA.
Oh, wow.
They felt like the ESA did not have their fucking back, and that it was worth it for them to not pay the dues.
Right, yeah.
And to do it themselves. Eventually, right. Activision came back onto the show floor, because you don't have to be an ESA member to display at E3, although I do think it makes your rates cheaper or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, so, like, that happened there. It's, you know, the basically the destruction of the original format of E3, the moving to Santa Monica, the coming back, having it be small, and then having it grow and grow and into, like, an almost uncomfortable degree where it's as big as it's ever been, if not bigger, in size.
Yeah, at one point it became more like a con than anything, and, you know, fans were getting in, then they kind of restricted that to mostly press.
Yeah, at a certain point, and I wouldn't know anything about this, you could just kind of make up any kind of fucking credentials and get into that show.
That's weird, right? I don't know.
Weird how that works.
Yeah.
But yeah, like,
I wrote a review once, can I get a press pass? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I had a buddy that, he was the first guy I ever heard about getting to E3, and he got there through, he worked for a he had his own website. Gamers Online with a Z.
With a Z, yeah.
420
Blazin'.
And, so that's how he got into E3. So basically what happened today is the E3 pulled out of E3.
Yeah.
EA pulled out of
E3.
Yeah. And so they're not having an E3 related press conference.
Oh no!
They are not exhibiting any games at the show.
Wow.
They will probably be in some people's booths. Like, Microsoft may bring some of their stuff. They may appear on the Microsoft stage.
Right.
But what they have decided to do instead, they're doing the PlayStation Experience thing. They're having their own fucking public events.
Interesting.
In the time period around E3.
Interesting.
And they're just talking directly to their consumers.
Well, there you go. All right.
They're doing what I would describe as the smart thing for them.
Yeah.
Because how much coverage do most EA games ever get out of E3?
It's the least one that I pay attention to. I pay attention to the Microsoft one, the PlayStation one, and typically whenever Nintendo does their little live thing. Nintendo Direct thing. And, I'll listen to Ubisoft before I listen to E3. I don't think I listened to the EA one last year. And I was really intent on listening to a lot of it, so.
I
don't think I watched it.
I always enjoy their presentations. They always have some interesting stuff. Especially back in the days when they were doing, like, the EA partner stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we're gonna work with fucking Grasshopper Manufacturer and Suda51 and make something weird.
That sounds alright. Alright, Suda51, sure.
That's an interesting approach. They decided that it just wasn't worth their while anymore, and they want to talk directly to their consumers. That's basically what Nintendo did.
Yeah.
Nintendo's not paying money to have press conferences anymore.
No, it's all digital. It's all.
So, if nobody's coming to your booth, like, none of these editors at these magazines are really coming to your booth unless it's for an appointment.
Yeah.
And your press conference is full of people that don't necessarily want to be there.
Yeah.
What if you did public press conferences with your rabid fans that are going to make everybody, all of your other, I'll say, like, converted consumers more excited because of how these other people that like the same thing as them are also excited.
Mm-hmm.
It has, like, that mob mentality, and I think it's a smart idea for them.
Yeah.
You know, EA had a really good year last year. Mm-hmm. They just made a really smart move. They brought EA Access in a form to, Origin, their PC gaming platform.
Mm-hmm.
And EA Access is something that I signed up for last year and don't regret at all. Like every few months they throw a few games in there, like Battlefield Hardline and Dragon Age Inquisition and all the last year's sports games and shit. They're all in there and you can play them whenever you want as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then any new release, like EA game, I can download it and play it for 12 hours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Not just, like, 12 hours from the time I start, then it's got to be uninstalled like a fucking movie rental or something. It's like, no, you can play a full 12 hours of this game. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
yeah, I think that this is a smart move on EA's part, and worst case scenario, they do it, it's not a huge success, and then next year, they come back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Activision still doesn't have a press conference of their own. Granted, a lot of that's because they only put out, like, 3 games a year now.
Yeah.
Although, with the announcement of that TMNT game this week, and last fall they brought back Tony Hawk, which, granted, it sucked, but then they also had that Transformers game, and, like, they made more than 4 games last year.
Yes, yes.
And it looks like this year they plan on doing that again.
Doing more games,
You know, I wouldn't be shocked to see something like the Cabela's games come back, you know, just a lot of stuff that Activision used to be in the business with, especially with the gradually shrinking sales of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Like, year over year, it's not dying, but it's just shrinking. Like, people are falling off.
Yeah.
It happens.
Sure.
And, you know, I think they're going to look to other avenues for revenue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what do you got?
There you go. Other than the news, once again, Mighty No. 9 has been delayed to spring of this year. Is there any amount of hype that will be fulfilled for this when that thing is released? I can't imagine that there is.
I hadn't experienced any hype when they announced it.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
So
yeah, it's just like, I don't know, like the only time that I felt hype was I was like, oh, the Mega Man guy is doing another Mega Man type game because Capcom won't do one. Awesome.
Here's the question that I have. and I don't mean this as like a facetious question. I genuinely mean this.
Yeah.
He hadn't been able to make a good Mega Man game for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And he was given many opportunities.
Yeah. Well,
what makes anyone think that that is going to change?
Which ones did he work on? Did he work on X? Was that him, or was that
he did the off? He did the X series.
The X series was good.
You know, like, I didn't think 9 and 10 were any good.
Yeah. Yeah, 9 and 10. Was that even him?
Yeah.
He developed on that one. I didn't play either 9 or 10.
I didn't like them. Yeah. Like, at first I looked at him and went like, oh, these look exactly like the NES games. That's cool. And then when you start playing them, you're like,
no. Just doesn't feel.
It's just not as interesting as like the two of that series that were interesting to me. and he also made the Legends games, and I didn't fucking like those.
Yeah, I didn't like the DC. I didn't like a lot of that had a lot of fan base behind it, apparently, but not enough to get that one kickstarted. So,
some other company stepped in and
is
funding
that. Yeah, which is interesting, but because it didn't hit the mark, but whatever.
Not anywhere near it.
Yeah.
But some company stepped up and actually, I think they ended up canceling that Kickstarter before it even ended.
Yeah.
And said, we've got private funding for this.
Yeah. Which is intriguing. I don't know. It just, there's a lot of not proof coming out of that whole company.
And here's the thing.
If it comes out, it's a good game. Awesome. I'm not really going to be like affected by this. Cause I'm like you, I'm not like waiting on pins and needles, waiting for Mighty No. 9. You know, the game savior of all. Like, I just, if it's a good game, it's a good game. Awesome. But, you know, like, that's what it is. So.
And, you know, there's all sorts of stuff that happened with that just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that people don't like.
Yeah.
That, like, even people who backed at, like, $250 and $500 don't get a physical version of the game. They just get a download.
They just get a download.
So, like,
of it, yeah.
But they didn't even announce the deluxe edition of the game until after the Kickstarter had ended.
Mm-hmm.
And some people thought that felt dirty.
Yeah.
But granted, like, you know, take my friend Todd, for instance, and I'm not going to put him on blast here or anything, but, like, you know, he's got a really sour, negative opinion of the Kickstarters that Double Fine's done, and I thought those have been great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think every game that's come out of that project so far, Broken Age, you know, it was one of my favorite games last year. Massive Chalice.
Yeah.
I think those have been fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, they...
They're doing Psychonauts 2 now? Is that in the works right now?
Yeah, I don't give a shit about it.
I'm just saying other stuff's coming.
Yeah, yeah. but when it's a game, I'll care.
Sure, yeah.
The only thing I Kickstarted that they attempted a Kickstarter for,
right,
was Broken Age, just because it, like, I got swept up in that frenzy and I was like, eh, like, you know, like, and I liked it, but, like,
yeah,
I'm typically of the opinion, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm an asshole, like, yeah, I get this a lot,
yeah,
but I like buying games when I know they're actual games.
Right, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Like, I don't like buying the promise of a hope of a chance of a game that I'll probably not like.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's I don't view fan service in the same way that most people do.
Sure.
Like, fan service almost, like, bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like the Ghostbusters game.
Yeah.
That came out, what, oh, yeah, 6 years ago?
6 years ago.
Atari published it. It was originally an Activision game.
Sure.
Had a lot of the original cast in it, with the exception, yep, of Rick Moranis. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it. It just felt pandery.
Yeah.
As soon as I started playing, I was like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Just nope.
Immediately. Yeah.
That and the act of busting ghosts in that game was fucking boring. I just didn't like it.
Yeah. I never did get a chance to play that one.
I always thought busting ghosts would feel like a violent action, and that it just felt like you were,
yeah,
throwing a jump rope at somebody. Yeah. I just didn't like it.
I've lassoed him with plasma.
But yeah, like, I try to remain calm, which most people always view as negative when it comes to the anticipation for an upcoming game.
Sure.
I have my few franchises that betray that thought process.
Sure.
But for the most part, I typically like to look at things calm and level-headed.
Sure.
And that's why all this Kickstarter shit always looks insane to me. Like, when, a couple years ago, when Obsidian Kickstarter Pillars of Eternity, they were, right, like, yo, we're gonna make a Neverwinter Nights motherfucking game. And I was like, that's cool as shit. And, but I didn't Kickstart it because,
yeah, not a game yet.
They still got that in the chamber?
Yeah.
Who was to say they could still do that?
Yeah.
You know, or like Shadowrun Returns. Like, fucking Shadowrun was badass. Yeah, I didn't Kickstart that because I was like, do I still really want a Shadowrun game? And if it is just that, is it enough anymore?
Yeah, is that enough for nowadays? And
yeah, like, yeah, you know, look at this. Like, I say this, like, one of my favorite games of all time is Burnout 3.
Sure.
One of my second favorite games of all time is Burnout Paradise. There's a game in between there that I think is really great,
mm-hmm,
but it does not stand anywhere near that echelon, even though it's better than Burnout 3, it's Revenge.
Yeah.
Burnout Revenge is a better game in every way categorically than Burnout 3.
Yeah, but
but it is too similar at its core to 3, so it is inferior by proxy.
By proxy, because it came second.
Exactly. Yep, you're right. The reason why Burnout Paradise stands on its own, it's a completely different goddamn game. And, like, everybody who sat down and said, like, oh, I don't like Burnout Paradise, man, it's too different. I'm like,
yeah,
that's what's awesome about it. They made a different game.
Yeah.
They didn't just fucking crank the machine and go, boom!
I mean, there is something to be said about some of these Kickstarters of just like, oh, remember that thing you liked? We're going to do more of that. And, like, there was a few of those that was just, like, that was asinine and got millions of dollars. Fucking Shaq Fu 2.
Shenmue.
My favorite was Shaq Fu 2 because fucking Shaquille O'Neal, who could do a Buick commercial and get the funds to do a fucking Shaq Fu 2, crowdfunds a sequel to a shitty game nobody fucking wants. Like, why? And of course it gets greenlit because people are idiots and like that.
Here's the thing. You know what they should have kickstarted instead of Shaq Fu 2?
What's that?
Charles Barkley Jam Gaiden 3.
That's what they should have done, yeah.
You should have went out and got the Charles Barkley license.
Yeah.
You should have got the Urkel license.
Yeah.
You should have got the fucking the diabetes guy license because he's in the game. Wilford Brimley, is that his name?
Wilford Brimley, yeah.
Get him and his horse show up.
Wilford Brimley.
Man, fucking Charles Barkley shut up and Jam Gaiden.
Oh, man.
Is one of the weirdest games.
It's pretty great.
I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. Is that the same guy that did the John Cena game, impressing? There's a John Cena game that's like that, too.
I don't know. Like,
adventure thing. And
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
It's like one of your power-ups, like, ran a Make-A-Wish.
It's called Impressing Cena-sama. That's what it is. It's called, like, because he's, like, your upperclassman or
that's
whatever.
A good name.
Yeah, it's pretty all right. That's what it is. And, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, Cena-kun.
Oh, that's basically that. The whole game is basically that.
Cena-senpai.
Every person is just John Cena with a different, like, mustache on. Like,
what if John Cena was my senpai?
Senpai. How great would that be? Senpai. Yeah. Cena Senpai, yeah, that's what it was. But yeah, like, Kickstarters are fun. They're funny. They're just funny to me. I don't know. Gaming-wise and everything. I've Kickstarted...
I'm audibly shaking my head right now.
I've Kickstarted a few things, not a lot, but yeah, the hype behind them are kind of ridiculous. You hated the hype for Shenmue 3, I know that. You hated that one.
Well, because here's the thing, is that, like, I like Shenmue. Yeah. Shenmue 2 was fine.
Yeah.
Granted, that game had a significantly reduced budget, but it was too close to the original.
Yeah.
I just fucking know that what they put out is going to be significantly reduced in scope.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be, like, fucking exactly like that.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. If I wanted to do that, like, do you really care about Londi? Does anybody really? Write into the show.
Some people might, dude.
Tweet at me on Twitter, at @Hoss_buddy. Do you actually care about fucking Londi? And if so, why?
Oh, yeah, please do. We would love to hear that. But yeah.
You're like the people that... You're the kind of people that, like, saw the movie Castaway. I don't know why this comes to mind, but you saw the movie Castaway. At the very end of the movie, when he stands at that crossroads and you don't know where he's going to go, and they're like, the fuck? They didn't even tell us where he went, bro. Like, that's the idea. That's, you know, you're supposed to... It's... Never mind.
Never mind. I don't think you get it. I don't think you're getting this.
That thought process is clearly lost on you.
Yeah, but that's
I'm still stuck on John Cena being my senpai.
I know, right? Yeah, I would love for John Cena.
Cena-kun.
Cena-kun. Cena-senpai.
Me and him will start an adventure team and get a fucking folding chair.
Yeah,
it'll
be okay.
It'll be fucking
all right.
Great.
Yeah! Let's do this.
What if we just had fucking wrestling gimmicks as our fucking gear?
That'd be great. You just toss Cena into Persona.
We hop into a fucking television?
Yeah, that'd be all right.
I'm liking this.
Yeah, there we go.
Man!
It's a game. If only we could program games.
Man, I hope that new Persona doesn't suck.
Yeah, it looks pretty rad. I don't know.
It's coming out in the middle of the summer, which is nice.
Yeah.
There's going to be nothing else out for me to play.
It's true.
Yeah. I'll be like, I don't want to go outside. It's too hot.
I don't want to go outside. This is ridiculous.
After I run that half marathon, I've decided that I'm getting my legs replaced with tank treads.
Okay, yeah. And just not.
Because my legs are clearly going bad. Yeah. So.
Might as well have tank treads.
Fucking tank treads, man.
I mean, you know.
I'll just fucking...
You know,
transform and roll out.
Robots do it. I mean,
fuck yeah, man. Imagine like Johnny Five tank treads.
That's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing you on some Johnny Five tank treads. Like, just like, but like they don't seal up your lower half. You're just always dripping.
Hossy Five is alive.
You're just in constant pain. You're just dripping blood all the time.
I'm alive.
This is awful. Like, why did anybody think to do this?
Nobody wants to go visit Haas anymore. All he does is grab you and just say, kill
me. It's depressing.
We should just get over it.
The last bit of news that I noticed was they're making a Pikachu detective game.
Great.
I don't understand these fucking games are coming out. I know it's their, whatever, like 30th anniversary. How long is that game? How long is Pokemon?
I think it's...
It's like 25, 30, some nonsense. 20. It's the 20th anniversary, and they're just throwing out every possible game they can do. You got the Pokemon Go, which is the whole online, you know, mobile game.
Well, they're doing the red, blue, and yellow re-releases. I like
that's that cool.
They didn't completely redo them.
Yeah.
They're digital only.
Yeah.
Well, they're $20.
$20, not
and
bad.
And because it doesn't have Link Play anymore, they added wireless support into there. It's really the only thing that they did is that they added, like, ad hoc, local.
Sure.
And I don't...
I mean,
I'll probably buy Blue. I had Blue when I was a kid.
Why not, you know?
Like...
We should play through Blue. We'll do that.
We don't have anything to capture.
Yeah, we don't have anything to capture that, I don't think. No.
That's a very complicated capture setup.
Now, unless you get your original one, and then we get a Game Boy, Super Game Boy, and then we'll just put it up on the SNES.
I do have a Super Game Boy.
Well, we'll just put it on the SNES, and we'll capture that. How about that?
Works for me.
Then it's not...
We can colorize it like Ted Turner.
Right? We can do that. We can be just like Ted Turner.
Hashtag just like Turner.
Hashtag just like Turner. At Haas underscore. But yeah, it's just like they got like a little like first person detective game with Pikachu. Like just like screenshots. I guess he just runs around and like solves a crime. I don't know.
What if it's like Pokemon Snap?
But it is kind of cute because he's got a little hat. He's like walking around.
What if it's like Pokemon Snap?
If it's like Pokemon Snap, they should just redo Snap.
Dude, I like Pokemon Snap.
Pokemon Snap's a fun game. Like, dude. I remember playing the hell out of that game.
I got an idea.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a 3DS game.
Yeah.
Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
Augmented reality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It turns your neighborhood. It
turns your neighborhood.
And you just fucking.
I thought about that too, man.
There's a Pokemon taking a shit in my yard. Yeah. Take a picture of him.
Yeah. Oh, there's a Pokemon over there. Oh, you'd have to map. Like, that'd be so hard to do. Like,
Coughing is fucking that wheezing in that alley.
Like coughing.
Wheezing!
And it would be random pop-ups every time. You could, walk down your hallway and capture everything.
Because they did that ghost game.
They did the ghost game, yeah. But you have to, capture so it algorithms to what's there, so. But, it would be pretty insane to, have it.
Whenever you catch a yokai in Yokai Watch.
Yeah.
I think you can skip by this.
Yeah.
But it will fucking take a picture of, you take a picture of yourself in this right position, and it'll, put the yokai on your shoulder.
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
It's real dumb.
That's real dumb. That's real dumb.
I've got quite a few friends that live in Japan right now, and
they love that yokai watch over there.
Man, it's huge.
That's the big one.
I keep trying to reconcile it, and I'm like, at a certain point, I'll probably just have to buy it, because everything I look at it, I'm like, this doesn't look that good. But, this entire country is freaking the fuck out about it.
True. Oh man, is it bigger than Pokemon right now?
Huge.
I'm sure Pokemon has a stable of cash that they can say, well, we made this, but as of the hotness right now, it's definitely the top.
Yeah, it's it's like this year's Monster Hunter.
Yeah, it's the Monhu.
Don't ever say that to me.
I love saying Monhu.
Don't
because say it's that dumb. To me.
It makes me just want to shove you down my front stairs.
I just want to wedgie you and just
never fucking come back, Brandon.
I just want to bully you.
Take your Monhu with you, you motherfucker.
Take your Monhu down the stairs, you jerk. Oh man, what you been playing this week, Hoss? Been playing stuff? Been playing anything? What you been playing?
Played and beat that Dragon Cancer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, did you? Wow. Alright, I didn't know that. I didn't even hear about that. Yeah.
I haven't really wanted to say anything about it.
Is that a game you beat? I guess you just kind of experience it.
You don't beat cancer.
Yeah, you don't really beat cancer. You can.
I saw that game through to its conclusion, I'll say that.
Yeah, yeah. And is that all you're going to say about that?
No. Yeah.
So, everybody go play that game,
that's the saddest goddamn game I've ever played.
I'm sure.
And here's the thing is that, I've had games move me emotionally before. I've had a couple of games where, you get, that one tear that starts to well. Mm-hmm. You're not crying.
Yeah.
You don't even shed that tear, but you can feel it start to well up a little bit because there's an emotional reaction.
Yeah.
In this, it's not even the fact that this game can and does repeatedly make you cry.
Yeah.
It's the moments of, hopefulness that are the most heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because you know where it's going.
Ugh.
And it's just fucking brutal. Holy shit. I am very glad that I played through this game.
Yeah.
And if you're somebody who thinks I can't play that game, don't.
Yeah.
If you
have an understanding of what it is and you don't think you can handle it, it's definitely one they can't handle.
Or just don't want to.
Yeah, or don't want to, yeah.
You know, it's, a lot of people don't watch movies that are sad because they just don't want to be manipulated in that way. And this game is full of manipulation.
Yeah.
And, there's a big backlash against this game from, certain parts of the community. How fucking dare they, capitalize on the death of their son in this way? It's first of all, when they started making this game, they didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, they didn't know.
And second of all, it's their life. It's their experience. If they want to share that with somebody to maybe even give them a moment of catharsis or give them, some kind of insight into what that's like, then they're free to do that.
Yeah, we all have our own therapies. Jesus.
And
get over it.
It's everything is a fucking controversy on the fucking internet anymore.
Yeah, I know, right? It's a sad state.
On my Facebook.
Can't even hate black people anymore. It's bullshit.
Yeah,
what the fuck? What? No, go on, sorry.
I did see something really funny today, which apparently, like, Fox News has contracted this actress. Her name's Stacey Dash. She's black.
Yeah, she's in Clueless. Yeah.
That's where she's from. I couldn't remember what she was from.
Yeah, the Clueless chick, yeah.
But somebody had mentioned to Gabrielle Union that Stacey Dash said that we shouldn't have Black History Month anymore, and that there shouldn't be a BET network anymore. And she looked at her and said, "Who said that?" And they said, "Stacey Dash." And she said, "Who's that?"
Who is that?
Like, and that was the end of her comment. Was this? Wow. And then they told her who she was, and she's like, "Oh, okay, like, fine." Who gives a shit?
Who cares? Morgan Freeman said it too.
Yeah, fucking cares. But yeah, I digress.
Everything's a controversy.
I think there's just a. I saw on my Facebook profile timeline from like a year or two ago where I had said there are few phrases in the English language that mean less to me than Twitter war.
Twitter war? Yeah.
Have you heard about the Twitter war between... No, not between anyone. I don't follow that at all. I did follow a bit of that Kanye West Twitter war with himself today.
Well, that seems entertaining.
That's pretty good. Like,
fuck you, Kanye. Like,
Kanye. It wasn't even that. It was just like, it's like he was trying to explain something, and then he would tweet, and then he would tweet again, and try to say what he said before, but say it differently, and then tweet again. He was trying to explain what his new album's about, and then he said that his album is not going to be the album of the year. It's going to be the album of the ever.
Of the ever. Okay, then.
I thought that was all right.
Did you?
I kind of like Kanye West.
I kind of like him, too. He's cool. I don't know. He's a bit of a train wreck. You can't look away from him. He's amazing.
Really good at what he does.
He's really good at what
like,
he does.
Like, somebody tells me that they don't like his music, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, I never hear anybody say he makes bad music. I just hear people say I don't like his music. And I'm like, I'm okay with you saying you don't like his music. But nobody should say that there's no craft to it because there really fucking is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of like Michael Jackson. I have no interest in any part of that man's catalog of music at all.
Right, but you're...
But I will never say that he was not talented.
Exactly, yeah. You can't say he wasn't the king of pop. It's just like... It's nonsense. But yeah, no.
So yeah, that Dragon Cancer was, that was an event. And, you know, stop being dicks to each other on the internet.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't be a dick.
Stop
being a dick. It's not that hard.
And yeah,
dick's hard. Ha! Yeah! Give it up.
Nope.
Yeah, thanks.
I didn't slap your hand. That was not me that did that.
I faked that one. I'm fooling them. Like,
doing some Foley work over here.
don't pull back the curtain. Oh, man.
But yeah, I played a little bit of that. I've fallen deep into a Halo hole.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You were reaching for the controller before we started this this podcast.
I kind of can't sit in this chair without thinking like, oh, I can just get around it.
I get around a Halo. Get off it. Get off it. It's a sweet controller, though.
That controller's dope.
That sweet Elite controller.
It's growing on me.
It's Elite.
Yeah. I grabbed my old controller the other day, and it felt like I was just grabbing a little tyke's piece of shit.
What's this Mad Catz garbage? What's this 92 Mad Catz trash?
Fucking third-party bullshit. But yeah, and did we talk about her story?
We have not talked last about week. Her story. You said you played... No, it was afterwards, maybe. I don't think we talked about... No, we did not talk about her story. That's right, because we only have like 30 minutes on the battery.
Oh, that's right.
So yeah.
Played and finished her story.
Yes.
That game's cool.
Yeah.
I haven't had an experience like that in a really long time.
Which one was that? I'm trying to remember
what it was. Where you're watching all the police tapes.
Police tapes.
Woman's husband's dead.
And yeah, got it.
And so basically what I did to play through that game, and I don't know if this is the way that everybody should play through this game or if anybody else did it this way, I started cataloging evidence.
Okay.
I had a notebook in my lap.
Right.
Oh, so I was sitting in this
physical notebook, not in the game.
I was sitting in this chair, Indian style, with a notebook in my lap, and the mouse and keyboard in front of me.
And you were cataloging everything that's going on.
And I was writing out dates and times and outfits.
Wow, interesting.
And then timestamps So then I could watch the full continuity of the interview, because all the interview segments are chopped up into like 7 to 10 second just clips.
Right. Yeah.
And it's all keyword searched.
Okay.
So basically the whole game is told through, think Windows Explorer.
Right.
How you can search the directories on your computer mm-hmm. by keyword.
Right.
So you're searching this entire database that way.
Yeah.
So everything I would write down a date, I would write down a time, I would write down an outfit if it was necessary, or, wow. you know, just something that had happened, and then I would write down two or three keywords of that, and yeah. I would search for those keywords and find videos where, like, she says, and that was the summer before we went to Scotland for the for a couple of weeks on vacation.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so they went to this place in Scotland, and here's wow. it. And then I would search by that location.
Yeah.
And it's really weird.
That's intriguing.
I got really, really into that game. It's short. Yeah. It's like 3 to 4 hour experience. Yeah. The game's fucking awesome.
That sounds amazing. That sounds fantastic. I didn't realize it was that type of a detective game.
Yes.
Where you basically...
basically, you're somebody who comes in, like, a few years later, and it's, like, after Y2K.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole game is told, like, from this computer monitor, and there's, like, phosphor glow, and you can sort of see the reflection of the person you are yeah. in the monitor. And they have built this database, and this is a cold case, and you have to go back and investigate that.
Mm, there you go.
It's pretty cool.
Right on.
I like it a lot.
Nice.
And over the course of like 3 or 4 years, they bring this woman in several times. And it's very, like, from the yeah. point where like, he was just missing to the point where they know he's dead.
Dead, yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Interesting. I think that sounds awesome.
Her performance in that game is fantastic.
Very good.
So I liked that game quite a bit.
Awesome.
And I keep putting off starting Grim Fandango. I will start it. There's some other stuff that I'm working on. Plus, you know, if I've got 20 minutes, I'm going to play around a Halo. Yeah. If I've got 10 minutes, I'm going to play Mario Maker. And if I've got 3 hours, I'm going to play Xenoblade Chronicles X. That's kind of what's going on right now. And Xenoblade Chronicles X is pretty cool, and I don't know if it's a game for you.
Yeah. No, you're not sure if it's a game for you.
It's a game for me.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it's a game for anybody else.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like a single-player Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems intriguing.
Huge world in that game.
Yeah, I've heard it's big.
I think I'm pretty close to getting my own robot.
Yeah, gonna get a robot. Yeah, because you're students in that, right? And you're like learning how to or something.
No.
Oh, you're a teacher in it.
No.
What are you in it? What are you in that game?
Well, there are jobs in that game. Things that you can do.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But basically, so. This is humanity. Like Earth got attacked.
Right.
And you guys flew away in one of these lifeboats, and you crash land on this planet, and you're just trying to figure out this fucking planet.
And the
invading force that had attacked Earth. Maybe they're going to come back.
Maybe they're going to come back into it. Who knows? There you go. Interesting.
It's pretty cool. And, yeah. like, the city inside of that, the lifeboat
yeah.
is called New Los Angeles. And it has, like, weird little segments of actual Los Angeles in it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was designed so that... I guess the thought process being that people would want something that reminded them of home.
Sure, yeah. That's, like, reminiscent of it. And
yeah.
you can go back and say... This is what it was like on Earth before Earth blew up.
And there's like, you know, there's a industrial district, there's a residential district, there's a shopping district, there's, you know, and then like the series of skyscrapers that are right in the center of LA, they've got those, and that's where all the, like the barracks are and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool. I like that game. I wish it wasn't on the Wii U. I feel like it wouldn't have as many load times. Load times in that game are a little bit brutal.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of them. Like, when you're out in the open world, there's never load times.
Yeah.
But if you're in the city and you're talking to people and stuff like that, it's like going into those, like, 30-second cutscenes where you're just talking to somebody. Sometimes it's a 20-second load time to do the 30-second thing. And it's like,
ugh.
It just gets a little brutal.
Yeah.
But when you're out just questing and blowing shit up and having a good time, it's pretty all right.
There you go.
It's, you know, it's... Fantasy Star-y, Final Fantasy 12-y in combat. So if you want to understand what sort of combat scenarios you're looking at, it's real time.
There we go. Cool. We saw how good we were at Fantasy Star, so...
Yeah.
You know, that was a good time.
Fantasy Star 2, that...
Damn space mosquitoes.
We should try Fantasy Star 3 sometime.
Should we? Is it
easier? I heard it's harder.
Oh, God. Why? Why would anybody? Well, it probably gets harder. Like, I remember a lot of people saying that, like... Fantasy Star starts off hard, and it's like, why? But, I don't know. That could be a damn lie. They could be lying to us. I have no idea. But anyway, on to our topic of the week. We're talking about the online launch of Online support.
Yeah, I'll give a little bit of history. And then we're gonna jump into mainly what I consider the hard launch of online multiplayer on modern consoles, being the PS2 and the Xbox. I'm not going to skip over the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast had a few games and had a lot of interesting ideas, but it was more of a first step.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the Phantasy Star Online lovers out there, I'm sure, are going to write hate mail, and trust me, the Dreamcast will get its due on the show. but yeah, like, online connected devices in Japan had been common for quite a while. You know, we mentioned things like the Satellaview.
Yeah.
There were all sorts of, you know, Genesis era, SNES era, devices and add-ons that were, engineered for you to be able to connect your devices to the internet, whether it be to, you know, post to BBSs or to, you know, even in some cases get games sent to you, like demo versions and things like that, shareware style, versions of software. And we can do a history episode where we talk a little bit more in depth about some of that stuff at a later date. I've no problem doing that because I'd like to learn a little bit more myself. Share some of that. But so the N64 also had with the DD.
That's right, yeah.
You could connect to the internet with that, and there were online-enabled functionality, like not necessarily game stuff, but, you know, you could, like, edit pictures and stuff like that and share pictures.
Yeah. Did that ever come to the U.S., or was that Japan?
No, yeah, that is Japan, that only.
CD console, right?
I would like a DD.
Yeah, yeah.
The DD actually did come out. It is commercially available. There's only about four pieces of software available for it.
Yeah.
And one of them is actually the Zelda Ocarina of Time Master Quest.
That's right, yeah.
Remember that. And we're not going to get too far off on a tangent here, but the failure of the DD is why the expansion pack exists. Because Majora's Mask and the Master Quest were billed as 64 DD titles.
Yeah.
And because the 64 DD not only gave you more writable content space and disk space, but it also gave you more RAM, allowed you to make the game look better and process better textures and get over a lot of the technical hurdles that the 64 really suffered from it.
Right.
From a 3D modeling perspective, that system was fine, but when it came to rendering textures, that was its Achilles heel.
Oh, yeah. It did.
That thing.
It looked like a living nightmare. Textures were, it was brutal.
Yeah. It drastically affected their library of available textures that developers would use to build games on that system. So, you know, when you licensed engines for that, like, you had these small libraries of assets that you could use. Mm-hmm. So you ended up with almost every game on the 64 kind of looking the same.
Yeah, it's a very samey. Every forest looks exactly the same because it's like, well, we have two tree skins, so we'll use that one. You know?
Well, and you can use that as a segue into the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast had a lot of that as well because so many games for the Dreamcast were manufactured by Sega first party.
Right.
And it was all based on the, like the system was itself, Naomi 2 board technology, which was their arcade unit. Mm-hmm. So they already had all these assets used, so they just kept churning these things out. Yeah. So every character always looked like a Virtual Fighter dude.
That's right, yeah.
And every texture looked like it came out of Daytona, USA.
It was all the same.
And you know what?
Yeah.
If there's two things I like, it's Virtual Fighter dudes and Daytona, USA. So I thought that looked all right.
What about Daytona, USA with Virtual Fighter dudes driving? That'd be all right.
You're getting a corner office.
I guess so. You've done it.
You're promoted.
You've done it.
You've just saved Sega, sir.
You've saved it.
We're not going to do a 37th Sonic reboot.
No.
No. You've slam done. Dunk, sir.
Slam dunk.
We're going to put that on your business card.
Yeah.
I guess we can use this as kind of a transition. So that's sort of like, and also there's like the NetEuroze, which was PlayStation's basically developer console, which allowed normal human beings to connect to the internet, share things through a Linux interface, and make their own games and share them.
Right.
Which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So when Sega announced that the Dreamcast was coming out, you got to think, you know, this is 1998 when it launched in Japan.
Yeah.
you know, the especially the United States, and a lot of the thought process that went into designing the Dreamcast was focused on their most successful territory at that point, which was the United States. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of this thought process of, dude, the internet's big. We need the internet in this thing.
Yeah.
The system came out of the box with a 56K modem attached to it, mm-hmm. which later on you could upgrade to a broadband adapter.
Right.
And, you know, it had other things that you would associate with modern internet for the time. Mm-hmm. It had a mouse.
Yeah.
That you could buy. It had a keyboard that you could buy, so you could play motherfucking Typing of the Dead. Typing of the Dead.
Typing of the Dead is awesome.
It had the ability to play online shooters. Quake 3 was on there. Mm-hmm. Unreal Tournament was on there.
Yeah.
Half-Life was supposed to be on there and got canceled at the 11th hour.
Nice.
And there are physical copies out there in the wild, and strategy guides were already on store shelves for the Dreamcast version of that game.
There you go.
That's kind of awesome.
It's kind of okay.
I would actually like to own one of those Half-Life strategy guides for the Dreamcast. Yeah. It's not any different than the PC one, just to have that thing and go, this is fucking weird.
This is bizarre.
It's kind of like all those copies of NBA Live 07 that got out there.
Yeah.
Not 07, it was 09?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the game, no, NBA Elite, it was after they changed from the Live name. The game was canceled, but it was done. The demo was on Xbox Live, in the PlayStation Network, and the game shipped, and EA fucking pulled the ripcord and said, fuck it, bring them back.
Wow.
Some of those still stayed out in the wild. So you find copies of that game for like $200.
Oh, wow.
So that's 1,000 achievement points out there that you could have that nobody else in the world can have.
For only $200.
Yeah. I would never buy it because I think paying $60 for a sports game is already a little much.
That's a bit much already.
Yeah, I already feel like we've crossed a fucking bridge here. But
what about those Chivos, bro?
I've started to get over it.
Yeah, I think most people.
I would say I'm farther than started.
Yeah, farther than started. You're about over the hump here.
Yeah, like I still like getting them, but I like them in the same way that like it's a good shorthand. Like I don't think about my overall score because I'm unfadeable on my list.
Right.
Nobody can touch me.
Right.
When it comes to score.
Yeah.
But I do like saying, like, oh, like, you played this game and I played this game. It's like, oh, it looks like we played it about the same. Or, god damn, you played a whole hell of a lot more of that game than I did. And because nobody's really going for achievements that hard anymore, it's a good indication of, well, you spent more time on it than me. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that you used an achievement guide because nobody does that anymore.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, so back to the Dreamcast. Yeah. You know, that was a fully enabled online system. Some of the later games for it, Phantasy Star Online and Alien Front Online. Alien Front Online was kind of fascinating. It was a fairly decent, like if not spectacular, third-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of by the numbers in a lot of ways.
Sure.
But the cool thing about it was that it allowed you to use a version of the Seaman microphone.
Mm.
And it came bundled with it, so you could actually do some online chat.
Oh, yeah. That's
before
right.
Xbox
before,
Live.
Before Xbox Live.
That required, I believe that required the online, the broadband adapter for you to do chat at all.
Yeah, you could online chat with Leonard Nimoy himself. He was there all the time.
Constantly.
Constantly.
He's like, look at this weird fucking fish.
Look at this thing.
Eventually he turns into like a frog lizard man.
So he's fucking weird.
I don't know. But yeah, so that came out there. Phantasy Star Online. The big thing about that, and that game remained popular for quite a long time, especially in Japan, was because that was basically like a third-person action game version of Diablo.
Yeah. You know,
four-player dungeon crawler hub areas where there's going to be more than four people there, but whenever you're in a dungeon, it's four players going hack and slash and getting loot, doing that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, you know, really liked it, including me. I spent a hell of a lot of time playing that. I played it so much that when the GameCube came out, I bought the GameCube Online adapter.
Wow.
To play Phantasy Star 1 and 2 Episodes Collection
right.
on the GameCube Online.
There you go.
And I'm the only person I've ever known who owned the broadband adapter for the GameCube. A GameCube over sometime.
Yeah, there's a thing in the bottom.
There's all sorts of shit in there.
All sorts of things.
Because there's the Game Boy adapter that can plug in the bottom.
Wasn't there stuff that they never even utilized on the bottom of that
there's
thing?
There's one, because there's the online one.
Yeah.
There's the Game Boy adapter one, and I think there's one other.
Yeah.
And that was probably some kind of RAM expansion thing probably. That they just never got around to.
Sure.
But, you know, since the SNES, Nintendo has had ports on the bottom of their system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've gotten away from that now, but from the Super Nintendo, the N64, and the GameCube, they just had these weird fucking ports everywhere where just in case...
Yeah, like, just like, we'll make a CD version of this and stick the 64 on top of it. No.
Well, and Sega went down the same path, except Sega ended up using all that shit.
Yeah, they did.
And failed miserably at it.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that Nintendo likes to do, it's watch somebody go out into a new market and stand back for a second and go,
huh.
All right, that looks viable. Huh? Or, fuck it, pull the cord.
Like, pull that out.
There's just everybody in that office just has, like, like those parachutes that they put on the back of NHR dragsters, constantly poof.
They just fly backwards. And, whoa!
You're fired!
Like, oh,
Yamauchi-san just fired that guy. But yeah, so the Dreamcast was really a big foray into that. You know, it had a web browser, stuff like that. So I think that kind of covers the Dreamcast.
Sure.
What you can see there, when you talk about the Dreamcast and you talk about online, is that it was the grand experiment's proof.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else had kind of pussyfooted around with it. Sega did some stuff with the Saturn. It was very late era. It was definitely their test bed. Just like the 3D controller for Knights was basically the Dreamcast controller.
Right.
The latter era, the Saturn, when they knew that thing was about done, mm-hmm. they were like, we've got one more shot at this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need to make sure it hits.
Yeah.
So they did all this weird, like, limited release stuff
mm-hmm.
to just test for the Dreamcast.
Test and see what's going on.
And there was a lot of infighting going on in that company when it came to that sort of stuff. Like, the Japan unit was going like, yeah, we're fine with it being like a web browser, but why does it have to do all this online gaming shit? It's like, this is the thing!
This is what we need!
Trust us!
Yeah, it's like
So we'll transition from there. The death of the Dreamcast, I believe it was January 19th of 2001 was the date that the infamous call happened, where Peter Moore called all of the they had this huge conference call with thousands of people from across the world on it. You know, game journalists were on it, developers were on it.
Wow.
And he said that, you know, at effectively January 31st, we are turning off manufacturing. I think the 29th of January. I'd love for somebody to go back and check all these dates, because I'm doing this off fucking memory here.
Uh-huh, sure.
I think the 29th or the 26th of January 2001 was the launch of Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah.
And that thing was only going to be existing on a living system for a few days.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, that when Phantasy Star Online came out, it was only going to be existing on... you know, a live system, you know, an actively developed for system for a few days before they were turned off assembly lines.
Yeah.
But that game still managed to get quite a bit of popularity behind it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for quite a long time was a going concern for that company.
Yeah.
You know, like Phantasy Star Online version 2, they added a bunch of DLC to that thing.
Yeah.
Which is one of the first instances of that, except you didn't pay for the DLC. You just paid a monthly fee. It was like $5 a month, and you know, which was cheaper than MMOs at the time, like EverQuest and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but it wasn't necessarily a true MMO. But for the people who were really into that, it was worth it. I paid it for a while. I liked it.
Sure.
So all right, 2002
mm-hmm.
is where
I graduated. Sorry,
I graduated in 2001.
Yeah. Go on.
And I hung out and worked at a bunch of local jobs and played music. And that fall, I already had a PS2.
Yeah.
And then I bought an Xbox and a GameCube.
Yeah.
Effectively hitting the nuclear option button again, like I do. Whenever given the opportunity, I'm going to hit that nuclear option and go, like, I want to own everything.
You pull your chute.
Yeah. And that's fucking Yamauchi fires me, pulls my chute. No. It's like that trap door in Mr. Burns' office. God damn it, Smithers, this isn't working.
Damn it, Smithers.
But yeah, so the 2002 is really where this kicks off in a major, major way. There were two approaches to online services.
Mm-hmm.
The Sony way, which was the, what I like to call a half measure, which is a calculated risk.
Sure.
And there's the Microsoft, this has got to work,
option. Jumping into the pool. It's where you're either going to drown or swim.
And it's one of the ways that Microsoft got real, I'll say, like, you know, huggy-huggy with a lot of developers.
Okay.
Because they said, okay, we want you to make online-enabled games for the Xbox.
Sure.
Our system came bundled with a broadband adapter for online multiplayer. In addition to that, we're going to have full match-made gameplay for online games.
Sure.
And we're going to host it all for you.
Yeah.
We're going to give you all the tech to build your leaderboards and everything else. Even your single-player games. You want to build online leaderboards into it? Fine.
Right.
Do it. We want you to.
Right.
And it's just going to be part of your, you know, your licensing fee to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to host all this shit for you. You don't have to worry about a damn thing. You don't have to work with GameSpy or whatever, any tunneling service. We got this for you. Interesting thing is, that approach didn't work with one company.
Really?
One company that was a holdout for a few years.
Yeah?
EA.
EA was it. Okay.
They made games on the Xbox, but they were not online enabled.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Because EA wanted to host their own shit.
Right.
Because EA, to this day, they still do it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to shut games down.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't go out and play Madden 09 online.
Yeah.
Because it's only, like, the most two recent years that you can play online, and then they turn those fucking things off.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part about that being that they get your email address and all that other stuff. They want personal information from people. They want to build a personal relationship with their consumers.
Right.
Which ties back into the conversation we had earlier about their Public Games Expo stuff. They want to speak directly to consumers.
Sure.
So EA was the holdout here, but for the most part, rousing success, a lot of interest, especially from some Japanese developers you wouldn't think would be interested in developing for the Xbox. So interesting.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the launch of that here in a little bit, but let's just talk about the philosophical approaches.
Sure.
The PlayStation 2 didn't come with a broadband adapter.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have a port.
Yeah.
So Sony was going to have to sell you a device.
Yeah. To wire in, all that sort of
thing. Exactly. Yeah. And it was going to act as the first version of the PlayStation Network. A lot of the games would use that as like a front end where you would access the PlayStation Network and go into an online launcher, which would take you to GameSpy or whatever service was hosting this thing.
Sure.
There were a lot of hoster services back in the day, back before, like, you know, Steam and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really took a hold of it. There were lots of people that were, oh, you want to host a console game? Fine. It's just like, you know, hosting a PC game, just, you know, give us a nominal fee and we'll host it, and then whenever you want to turn the servers off, we'll fucking do it.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit more cowboy approach to that.
Sure.
But that approach for Sony, the reason why it's a good calculated risk is that they got $40 or $50, I think it was $40, for the online adapter. So that got to, that gave them the ability to say, well, X amount of our consumers are going to pay $200 for the box,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to give us an extra $40 for this.
Right.
And it's not going to cost us anywhere near $40 to make it.
Right.
So cool.
Yeah.
But they weren't going to charge a monthly fee. Microsoft was.
Right.
Microsoft's approach was $50 a year. It's $60 now, but at the time it was $50 a year.
Yep.
And your starter kit was
headset.
$60?
Yeah.
It came with an adapter that plugged into the top of your controller that you plugged the headset into.
Yep.
And it had, like, little mute controls on it and stuff like that. It was, for the time, kind of fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a behind-the-ears headset unit,
mm-hmm.
With one ear cup. And you could actually move that ear cup from side to side, whichever you wanted it on. And it had kind of a telescoping microphone to it.
Yeah.
Because every game on that service that was online-enabled would support voice chat.
Yeah.
Another thing that Sony didn't support. SOCOM came with a headset. SOCOM supported online multiplayer chat, but that was more of an exception than a rule on that system. It was
right.
It was not widely used because you were hosting your own servers,
mm-hmm.
So you were having to pay for more traffic.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot bigger files now. There are packets that are being exchanged back and forth between users.
Right.
So you're having to pay for all that traffic. Mm-hmm. And so that's another one of the differences. Now, I was an early adopter of both of these, and I was a beta user for Xbox Live.
That's right.
I have, as of this writing, I've been on Xbox Live since early to mid-spring of 2002. The online services didn't launch until September of 2001 for Sony, and November, like, 14th or 15th of 2002. For Microsoft.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to spend my entire summer that year playing these fucking weird demos that they sent me.
Yeah.
So I had signed up to be a beta tester, and they're like, okay, you're going to be a beta tester. So I'm like, cool. So they sent me all this weird shit in the mail. Like, here's a clear orange memory card.
What?
Why? They're like, well, it was the only way you could get one, so it was kind of cool. They're right. Worth a bit of money now.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Still have it?
I do.
I'm going to steal it.
That.
I'm going to steal it and sell
it. Why would you do that?
I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that.
You shouldn't do that.
I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't steal from other people.
No, that's...
RPGs taught me it's completely okay to steal in front of people, and they don't mind. You'll break their pots and steal things, and nobody cares.
And Zelda, Link to the Past, as long as you walk around the shopkeeper like four times and then get them their head to spin, you can just walk out of the store. But yeah, so I got, it was NFL Fever.
Yeah.
Bad football game.
I don't remember it, so yeah.
Microsoft's first party one.
Yeah.
Because you got to think, they had all first party stuff.
Sure.
For these sports games, because they weren't sure if... This was pre-2K breaking off.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the Sega brand, so they weren't sure what was going to happen there.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knew that Dreamcast was going to fold as quick as it did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also, you know, EA never signed on with the Dreamcast. Who's to say they would sign on with the Xbox? So they had to have something in the can.
Yeah.
So the first few years of the Xbox's lifespan, they had sports games.
Yeah.
So NFL Fever was going to be the first... Online-enabled sports, you know, NFL game on their platform.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got to play that. The game sucks. The other game that... there were a few that we played quite a bit of, like Revolt, which was actually a Dreamcast game that was pretty fucking awesome. They never released it, like, in final form.
Yeah.
So I have this copy of Revolt.
Yeah.
That is the only way you can get it for the Xbox.
Sure, yeah,
which is kind of fucking cool.
Yeah.
And that's kind of rare. I wonder if that's worth anything. But I don't even think you can use it at this point, so it's probably not, because I think it was online only.
Right.
But whatever. So Revolt, which we played a bunch of, was basically like RC cars and blowing shit up.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Sure.
And... The real star of the show, like, the Unreal Championship was okay. That game had lag problems till pretty much right when it came out, and then even then, you were better off in an 8-player game than a 16. Once you got to 16, that game had lag issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was still kind of cool. The game, though, is MotoGP.
MotoGP, yeah.
Holy shit! You're two tracks in that, and we've played it all summer for hours.
You've talked about that game before, and
that game's badass
with all two tracks of it. It's amazing.
No, but well, the full game, like once they ended up going back and retroactively adding the multiplayer to the base game.
Yeah.
After the online multiplayer launch, because regular MotoGP came out in the spring,
right?
And at that time, nobody had ever taken a game and then thrown multiplayer in it for a console later. So it was kind of cool. So you had this, like, really fucking great motorcycle game.
Yeah.
That was one of the best looking games you'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And it supported 720p.
Yeah.
And I had just bought a 720p TV in 2002.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was crazy. Don't do that.
Don't do that. That's not going to be good.
But yeah, so we played the living shit out of that. The interesting things about Xbox Live, for being a beta tester, I think they gave me a year for free.
Mm-hmm.
And the service was, like, remarkably stable. It's the thing that I remembered about that for a very, very long time, and it's the thing that's remained pretty true until this day, is that Microsoft has done a very, very good job of building something that their server farms are reliable.
Yeah.
And they... It's the thing that Sony's gotten good at now, because ever since they launched PlayStation Plus and had that outage and all that other stuff,
they
understood the value of a service being available.
Yes.
Especially now where they're trying to actively sell you a bunch of shit on said service.
Yeah.
People don't want to throw money into something that they don't know if it'll be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's something that Microsoft seemed to really understand from the beginning. And yeah, the launch of Xbox Live, I believe it had like 13 or 14 titles. I mean, it came bearing fruit pretty early, you know, MotoGP, you had Unreal Championship, Revolt never came out, but there was, NFL Fever, NBA, what was it called? Inside Drive, whatever their NBA game was called.
Interesting.
Ghost Recon,
right.
Which was a banger for that thing. That was a good version of that game. It was online multiplayer. It was fucking great.
Yeah.
Like the fucking GameCube and PS2 versions are fucking dog shit. You could definitely tell that Ubisoft...
They're garbage!
You could definitely tell that Ubisoft said, this Splinter Cell game is going to kind of be a big hit, so we need to, you know, rub elbows here with Microsoft a little bit, get some love. And, yeah, that Ghost Recon port, like, throughout the original Xbox's lifespan, all of those Tom Clancy games were flagshipped on the Xbox, were significantly better looking on the Xbox, performed better there... and usually had significantly better multiplayer on that platform.
Yeah.
The Ubisoft relationship with Microsoft, even through about like the first half of the 360's lifespan, was very, very tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, with the Assassin's Creed franchise and stuff like that, Sony had signed a deal with Ubisoft so that the... approach became much more even-handed.
Yeah.
So pretty much no matter where you go now, those games are largely the same, no matter which platform.
Right.
But, you know, and that stuff changes all the time. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Apparently this generation, the only place to play Ubisoft games is the motherfucking PC. Because I've heard from people that are playing The Division, and they say that game looks a billion times better on PC. So, buyer beware, I guess?
I guess so, yeah.
But if you only have a console, I hear it's fine there, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, let's go to the Sony approach.
Sure.
And I hope this has been coherent enough.
Oh, no, I think it has, yeah.
Trying to paint a picture of what the services kind of felt like.
Sure.
Well, I guess the other thing I'll say with the Xbox before we move on is that this is the first time anybody had ever changed a dashboard.
Yeah.
Ever. They added an Xbox Live dashboard.
Yeah.
So if you hit a button on your controller, you went from that initial Xbox
thing and then
to a fucking live dashboard.
That's right.
That had your friends on it. You could send messages.
Yeah,
you could invite to games. You could receive game invites. It fundamentally changed the way that that system functioned, because it added a whole different arm onto it, which was online play.
Yeah.
Which was really forward thinking for the time.
Yeah.
Because when you think about, like, you know, online systems and interfaces and stuff like that, I typically think about that around the Web 2.0 era, which really didn't start until around like 2004, 2005 in earnest. I mean, you had stuff before that that was a little bit more connected, but to have everything served up on a single platter that way at that time, it just felt like it was well fleshed out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it went a long way to, as somebody who had been a PC gamer for my online stuff for so long, it made me transition onto that service feeling like, wow, I'm getting a competing service to the PC. Granted, I'm paying for this one, but I'm getting features that are in a lot of ways sometimes better than what I can get, you know, with a PC. I'm not having to have a Ventrilo open and an Instant Messenger open and this launcher open. And so it's just, it all happens.
It just happens. Yeah.
It's that... It's the appeal, it's the reason why people buy consoles instead of PCs, even though the PC is probably the better way to go right now, is that I can plug a power cable in, a video cable in, and either connect it to the internet through wireless or plug a fucking cable in, and the thing just goes.
It goes. I don't have to set up...
That's it!
Yeah, I don't have to set up my router, I don't have to do all this stuff.
It just goes.
Boom.
One, I don't have to worry about fucking updating drivers and all this other completely insane shit.
Yeah, yeah. All the crap that people have to deal with PCs.
Yeah, yeah, hardware compatibilities, and I don't know, this game just crashes for some reason. I can't fucking figure it out.
Get a patch. Make a patch for this.
Yeah, I have a game that's fucking doing that right now, and it's like nobody else seems to have this issue, and I have no fucking deal why. But this copy of Roundabout that I got, I can't get it to launch for fucking shit.
Yeah.
And I think it's a driver issue for my video card. I've got a weird video card. It's not necessarily a consumer grade card. It's a pro card.
Okay.
That's kind of one of those all in wonders where it'll take like 50 different inputs into it.
Sure.
Because this the server computer that I'm using was used as a multimedia PC to record church footage and
stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's why that
video
thing,
footage. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that card just has weird driver support.
Yeah, yeah.
Most stuff works fine. Other things. Not at all.
If there's any sort of like foreign whatever that's like not typical, it's gonna be like, I don't know what this is.
First of all, they're like, it's an AMD? And then like, what the fuck is this thing?
Pull the chute!
Yamuchi-san!
Yamuchi-san! Sina-senpai!
Sina-senpai. That's a callback.
That's a callback. Two callbacks in one.
Boom.
Sorry, moving on.
But yeah, so the other approach to designing online interfaces was a lot simpler in design. You know, we already talked about the fact that you know, instead of just getting a starter pack that came with a headset kind of thing with Microsoft and a one-year card for a payable service, you just gave Sony... $40
About $40, yeah.
For that online adapter. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about that is that there
did it have a cool name, or was this called the online adapter?
The network adapter.
The network adapter, yeah. No, not a very good cool name.
No.
Yeah.
The weird thing about that network adapter is that it allowed you to access that weird panel on the back of your PlayStation.
Yeah. I remember that thing.
Yeah,
they're very Nintendo the way that is, because like it just, I don't know.
Well, it's a hard drive bay.
Yeah,
because when Final Fantasy XI came out, it used the fucking hard drive.
Yeah,
later SOCOM games used that hard drive as well.
Really?
I was a beta player for Final Fantasy XI.
Oh,
we can talk about that at some point, because that game, woof, what a shit show! Holy fuck!
Which one was? Oh, 11 was the online one, wasn't it?
It was the MMO.
Yeah, the thing was bad.
Oh man, you think it was bad when it launched?
Oh, yeah. No,
holy shit!
I remember it being the dullest thing I've ever had to experience. My friend Sean played that when he lived with us in the apartment, and it was just like, this is boring as shit. Like it's so
bad. Yeah, you got to pop this little door off on the back of the system and open this little tray. And when you pop the door off, that opens up the hard drive receptacle where you could throw this. It was a 40 gigabyte hard drive that came with Final Fantasy XI. It was not required to use the network adapter.
Right.
But to get to the network adapter port, you had to pull that door off and then open up this other thing, and you basically just jam this device on the back of it. It connects through, like, a serial port.
Sure.
Think old printer cables or old IDE cable-looking thing. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
Plug that in, and then there were two screws on it that were just big flatheads that you just tightened down. You could even hand-tighten them. The thing was never going anywhere.
Right.
And that's how the whole thing just locked in place.
Right.
And there was also, on the network adapter, there was another... basically an IDE port that would connect to the hard drive. So if you had a hard drive in there, everything just kind of sandwiched together and hooked in through that.
Yeah.
Which, that's one approach to it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where it gets interesting. To access the Sony network, you needed that adapter.
Right.
But that's not the only way you can play PlayStation 2 online.
Okay. This is interesting. I didn't know about this.
I've been saving this.
Okay.
You could buy external USB network adapters, plug them into the front of your PlayStation, and play shit like Tony Hawk 3 online. And here's the kicker.
Yeah?
Those services still work.
Are you serious?
Yep.
So you can just buy an adapter, just a straight up
I can actually,
wireless adapter for, you know... for a PC,
yeah,
and just plug it into the back of the PS2. Yeah.
Well, it's got to be something. It's not just a wireless adapter. It's got to be something that has a network card in it.
Network
card. So, and they were kind of common in that day. Like, say you were a guy who had maybe an older computer that didn't have a Cat 5 port on it.
Interesting.
It it just had like a 56K phone connection. Mm-hmm. You could just plug one of these in.
Oh.
And that would give you the option to connect to the internet through broadband that way instead of getting a card for it or something else. Yeah. It was just a different option. Huh. So these things were fairly common. Well, here's why that stuff became kind of popular, is that games that supported LAN... Yeah. On that system. And it's the same for the Xbox, so this is where they start to converge.
Yeah.
There were games that supported LAN play. The original Halo. Mm. The Tony Hawk games.
Right.
They support LAN play.
Yeah.
And what you can do is you can put in IP protocols to connect to servers.
Yeah.
To browse just like you would with old PC just like games.
With old PC,
it works exactly like that. Mm. Dude, it works with the Dreamcast for Quake 3. If you find somebody playing a vanilla version of the PC version of Quake 3, I can connect to those servers and play against them.
Wow. That's nuts.
That's pretty weird.
That's pretty bizarre. Was that intentional? I guess, or did that just, I don't know, was that like...
It's not unintentional. Like, people were playing Halo 1 online.
Sure.
You know, long before Halo 2 was out.
Right, yeah,
and you were
yeah.
playing it through tunneling services. Once again, things like GameSpy were hosting these.
Right.
You know, all sorts of internet forums like, shit, what's the one where, NeoGAF. The Gaming Age forums before they were NeoGAF. Mm-hmm. There were all sorts of people that would basically have... you know, contact groups were like, hey, you know, we're going to get on at this time and play this game, connect sure. to this IP, and, you know, and you'll connect.
Yeah.
And you can still search those servers. So before the network adapter was even out for the PlayStation 2, or before Xbox Live was even out, people were already playing those systems online because they had LAN support.
Mm.
So that's, like, my weird thing. Is that, like, before these services ever even launched, there was a way for you to play online.
Yeah.
But Sony, you know, they did launch the adapter. This is where the lion's share of people played their first time online, mm-hmm. Was after the official services launched.
Right.
You know, and I believe if you bought a network adapter on first day, they sent you a copy... in the mail of Twisted Metal Black Online,
mm-hmm.
Which was a version of Twisted Metal Black that was just an online-supported version of it. So it's kind of like that MotoGP approach of adding online support to a game later.
Yep.
They just kind of used it, like Revolt was for Xbox Live, as just sort of a test bed of technology,
yeah.
Just to you know make sure that this thing worked, and that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
It also launched with SOCOM, which was kind of a killer app for it. SOCOM, throughout the life of the PlayStation 2, was like... That was like the fight. I never felt like it was that big of a fight, but, you know, people who only owned a PlayStation, they were like, fuck Halo, man.
SOCOM.
This is it.
And yeah.
And I would play SOCOM and go like, I like this. Like,
yeah.
You know, I owned SOCOM 1 through 3 and they're cool.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't anywhere near as good.
Yeah, it's not Halo. Sorry.
But yeah, like, so the PlayStation 2 Online, I mean, yeah, PlayStation 2 Online. You know, it didn't have the connected services, didn't have unified friends list. You had to go game by game to do that. They were supported by the developers. So the amount of service, the quality of service, the feature sets would vary wildly.
Yeah.
From game to game.
Yeah.
And then you also end up with that, you know, the PlayStation 3 is still going through this as well, where, you know, a lot of these games, they're just offline now. You just can't play them.
Yeah.
But granted... The original Xbox is now offline.
Yeah.
I guess that was in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
They turned off Xbox Live Xbox for the original Live. Xbox.
Yeah.
They claim that that's the only time that they're going to sunset a system.
Yeah.
And they say they did that because there was framework that was built into that that was still unified with the 360, and that's why they couldn't expand friends lists.
Oh,
that's why they couldn't change feature sets, because the base programming language in it wouldn't let them change anything that was at that deep of a level.
Right. So So now they're obviously preparing for new versions and everything, so...
Exactly. Yeah, and they were getting ready for this generation and, you know, just looking to expand feature sets of the last generation, so that was required. So,
sure.
But now that the PlayStation 4 is a little bit more unified, I think you'll see less of that, you know, games going offline. But, you know, other than the EA stuff, anything that was online enabled for the 360, You can go back today and play.
Yeah.
Probably not anybody playing it.
Yeah, probably not anybody there. You're like, hello? Hello?
Although I did recently play a game of, God, what was that Soldier of Fortune game? Payback.
Payback.
Recently, oh, really? A terrible game.
Yeah,
I remember. I played a game of that online recently, and there were fucking people playing it, and I was like, what the fuck have you people been doing?
Go listen to our episode of Soldier of Fortune Payback.
I went back and played it after we recorded that episode.
Oh, man.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it's real bad and enjoyably bad.
I like
honestly.
It. We still haven't done a 50 Cent Blood on the Sand episode.
No, I guess, no, we haven't.
That's got to happen.
Yeah, you mentioned that one. I think on that episode you mentioned that one. So
whenever I think of Soldier of Fortune, I think of 50 Cent.
50 Cent, Blood in the Sand.
Hey, yo, 50.
Yeah. Hey, yo, 50.
Hit that big-ass ramp. There is a level where you're driving a truck and you are instructed to hit a big-ass ramp. And when you do, all these explosions happen,
yeah,
and it cuts to a cinematic camera, and it's great.
Okay, then. We should probably play that
game. All right. Oh, got a little bit of good news. I'm nearing the end of this conversation.
Sure.
I'd like to hear a little bit of your thoughts, but I did hear that related to some video series that we've done before,
yeah,
the Persona 4 Arena Ultra Mix for the PS3,
yeah,
is going to be free,
oh,
this month on PlayStation Plus. So if you're a fan,
of that, yeah, go check out Persona 4.
So what were your experiences in the... I mean, this has kind of just been a me episode.
No, it's fine.
In the PS2 and the Xbox generation.
I honestly haven't... thank you, Willow. You done?
Willow? All right, so online experiences, PS2, original Xbox.
My online experiences weren't vast. That I didn't really have any online experiences for a long time. Because I didn't have an Xbox in a household. We had a PlayStation, and we never got an adapter. We got a PlayStation 2 during that generation in the place we were in, and we never got an adapter. So really, the only time I played online of any kind was Final Fantasy XI. That was like it. Sean brought over his thing, plugged it in, and I was bored for about 8 hours that day watching that thing play through. And
that sounds about like playing Final Fantasy XI.
Ooh, he would play that thing all the time. Eric, I met Eric around that time, right around when that launched. That was like when we first became friends. I would go over to his place all the time, and it was kind of like, oh, you can chat with people. And it was never a good experience chatting with people, ever.
In the beta, it was okay.
Yeah, probably the beta, because it wasn't full of assholes.
Well, and it was a much smaller crowd.
Yeah.
So and sure, we were all so new to it, we were like, hey, yeah, we just want to talk to, yeah, each other.
Well, yeah, it was basically just like, there were a few times it was cool, because like he talked to like some of his friends, so it wasn't, you know, like, stupid. You know, it was like, it wasn't just some raging, you know, 13-year-old throwing down the N-bomb every 5 seconds, which has become synonymous.
Oh, man, I got a message the other day.
Oh, yeah? Did you
get... Oh, my God, I got a message the other day.
Was it just GG? Was it a good game? Was it, hey...
I wish. It was an incredibly, like, in a 50-kill match of Team Slayer,
yeah,
I got 32 kills, yeah, and only 6 deaths.
Right?
And the text message I got from this guy...
I want a screenshot of this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Was it long, or was it just, like, real small and, like, really hatey?
No, it was a long sentence about my sexuality.
Oh,
and the...
I'm tasting your tears.
Yeah.
Captain
implications Butter. About the color of my skin.
Okay, yeah.
Which I always really like.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And,
yeah.
You know, and how my sexuality impacts that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So.
Oh, your salty tears.
Thanks, Halo.
They satiate me. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, we still haven't outgrown that.
We will never outgrow that.
You know, I feel like Microsoft is trying to take steps, and Sony's doing this as well, where when you're friends with somebody, you have an option to reveal your real name.
Right, yeah.
And, like, everybody on my friends list, we're all sharing real names.
Sure.
Yeah. Guess what? I think online handles should go away.
Yeah,
I think we should all be just using our real fucking names.
Yeah, and
remember when fucking Activision got bitched at because like Blizzard wanted to do that for World of Warcraft for their forums?
Sure.
So that their forums would be more civil and then everybody freaked out?
Yeah.
The reason they freaked out is because all those people are fucking terrible to each other.
Yeah. Anonymity creates just a...
God complexes?
Yeah, it's unearned self-importance and of
an entitlement.
An entitlement. And just like, you can't, because you cannot be touched because nobody knows who you are, I am totally fine that if you want to get on the internet, you have to sacrifice your anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have jack shit to hide. I'm not an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is. But yeah.
Although I don't want everybody knowing all the pornographies.
Well, you know, I mean, you gotta keep some things up. You gotta keep some things up. First of all, they can't navigate through my pornography collection. They get bored. They get bored going through that folder.
Jesus.
System. Good God! I haven't gotten to one video yet. It's all folders and within folders. Anyway, I'm kidding. That was a joke from last weekend. But anyway...
yeah, I just like to be very specific with my pornography.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's like I log into everything with Facebook now. Now that anything that has like that connect with Facebook, all right, cool. People know my real name because guess what? I connected with Facebook. Yeah, it's easier. I can go on a forum. I don't have to hide about the fact that I'm a person, and I can, you know, I can go 2 seconds without throwing out a racial slur because I'm not an asshole racist. You know, and most people who use them aren't racist either. They just like to use that shit because no one can touch them.
Yeah.
That's the reason. So,
well, and the weird thing is that, like, I used to, like, I wouldn't say, like, pride myself on the anonymity of the internet.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that you could go somewhere and, you know, it's almost like, I never had a superhero complex or anything.
Yeah.
But it was nice, the idea that, like, I can go here and, like, people don't know if I'm, like, fucking 35.
Right, yeah.
Or 12.
Sure.
Or 50.
You don't know.
Like, they don't know if I'm a male. Like, you just say whatever you want, and like, if you're really informed on something, I always really liked it, like, when it came to stuff like video games. That's like some of my earliest experiences with the internet, was posting in forums or BBSs and shit like that about video games.
Sure.
And people would listen to me because I sounded informed.
Right.
And they were like, oh, okay, I'm gonna give you credit. But if they knew that I was 11 years old, they'd be like, fuck you, come on.
Get the fuck out of here, you kid.
Like, before there was a Wikipedia, my brain was already sort of the Wikipedia.
I mean, we've experienced on this podcast, you gotta have a Wikipedia Rolodex-esque mind.
I'm starting to lose little bits here and there, but enough of it's still close enough that I'm like, I'll take that.
And luckily, there's Wikipedia to confirm.
So. Fair enough. After I look at that and go, son of a bitch, I was right.
Yeah, look at that. Hey.
Or,
it was 93.
That was way off base.
That was way off.
But yeah, I think that's, you know, the launch of, you know, these online platforms, like, you know, Microsoft got a real bad reputation very early on just because of the fact that everybody could chat and it was just, yo, it's a bunch of racists.
Yeah.
And, but that's the whole internet.
Yeah.
That's not endemic to Xbox Live. That's the whole internet.
Yeah. I do not, like, it's just like, it's not indicative of actual society. It is.
Go on PlayStation 4 now.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Since this generation, every box comes with one of those things.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like...
Because the PlayStation 3 was, like, a weirdly sterile experience.
Yeah,
you'd go online, and because a headset didn't come in the box, nobody had one.
Nobody had
the only people that did had those fucking PlayStation Eye cameras, and all you would hear is just, like, incredibly loud rap music the whole time.
Weird, right?
I'm not saying that all people that played PlayStation 3 online were black. I'm just saying that they all wish that they were.
They all listen to rap music. White people can listen to rap music. You don't have to take that into
consideration. I listen to a lot of rap music.
Yeah, you listen to a lot of rap. Back to Kanye.
Boom!
Boom! Callbacks all day.
And that guy married the whitest bitch on earth.
Yeah.
She's like, this generation's Brooke Shields.
This generation's Brooke Shields. Kim Kardashian, this generation's Brooke Shields.
Word.
I think we have the title. It's probably a bit long.
That's a good one.
Kardashian's a bit long.
No, I just like, this generation's Brooke Shields. All right, I think that's a good one.
They just put a picture of Kim Kardashian. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is this podcast talking about this week? Thought there were video games. Nope.
No, we're talking all about that Kim Kardashian tape.
Kardashian.
But yeah, like, I...
It's an interesting cultural thing, just because, like, we never got to experience much of this in gaming here, because a lot of it, like, the Nintendo, like, the Sega Satellite stuff we talked about earlier, that was all over in Japan. You would down... It was interesting, because you would, like, you would log on during certain times of certain days, and it'd be like, now you can experience this game, or you can do this game. There was a Link to the Past game of that, wasn't there?
Yes, yeah, and I'm looking it up right now. Yeah,
there was a Link to the Past game. That was
Teleview Zelda.
Teleview Zelda.
All right, so apparently there's a guy... All right, so this is getting a little bit Wikipedia-ish.
No, I know what you're talking about, this guy.
There's a guy that went back and found enough images of the daily versions of this where he's recompiling it to make the finished game.
The finished game itself, yeah. I heard about this guy, yeah, because it never completed, did it? Because it would be like certain days, like, oh, you can play level one here,
yes,
and then level two or whatever you call it, like whatever.
Yeah, it's like the daily quests in Destiny, but in 1995.
Yeah, and it's just like, and that sort of thing. When I learned about that, it blew my mind that something in 95 like that existed, because it wasn't. I didn't know about that until like 2005 is when I learned about that. So, you know, 10, 20 years later, and but it. I don't know. It's an interesting thing, just that we never got to experience that stuff, and then it became, like, the thing. I think because, like, Japan experimented with it and didn't have a lot of success, because Nintendo doesn't, like, they don't fucking, like... Well,
and I've said this a couple of times on the show, and I don't mean this as a pejorative in any way.
Yeah.
Even today... The Japanese use the internet differently than we do.
They do.
They love the internet as a distribution platform. They love the internet as a sterile community. Yeah. They don't view it as a collaboration tool.
Exactly.
And that's the difference between...
It's not communal to them.
Exactly. It's not a shared experience.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of multiplayer games that come out of Japanese developers... That are not just here's a two player or four player thing for you and your family to enjoy on your couch.
Yeah.
Like as far as like online multiplayer stuff goes, if it comes out at all of a Japanese developer, it's aimed at an American market or, well, I'll say Western market, you know, Europe westward.
Yeah.
And they don't relish that kind of experience that much.
Yeah.
It's not what they're after. The way that their culture works, I mean, like, you know, there are train stations full of people in Japan.
Yeah.
And you notice, like, even when you watch video of these locations, you know, where there's 50,000 people here right now, and all you hear are shuffling feet.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking, yeah. It's just they don't communicate in that way. Like, we're a much more social culture in that way.
Yeah.
They're social in different ways. Mm-hmm. The written language. You know, the nonverbal communication.
Yeah. Traditions.
Yeah.
Festivals that, you know, have gone on forever. But yeah.
Exactly.
Like that's when you become communal is during certain times. You don't, you know, it just...
We're descended from assholes that wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
<to weird.
laughs> Irishmen. Sorry. I'm part Irish. I can say that.
I'm mainly Scottish. What does that say about me?
No, wait, I'm Welsh. I think I'm Welsh. Damn it. I can't remember what I am. Yeah.
You're like Tom Jones. Isn't Tom Jones Welsh?
Yeah, Tom Jones is Welsh, yeah.
Not unusual to be loved by anyone.
I'm okay with that.
We have to sing almost every episode.
Almost every episode. Yeah, but it's a fun cultural thing because like it became more of a communal thing over here, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Nintendo's kind of jumping on board with it. Again, like you said, it's a distributional type thing.
But
the Miiverse is like, you know, you got the... not the Miiverse, but like... You got the messaging system on the Wii.
The Miiverse. Stuff
like that. Yeah, that is the Miiverse still? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I don't know, they still call it the Miiverse or not.
Well, the Miiverse, but that's all written.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. They're online multiplayer games. You can't chat.
You can't chat. Yeah, yeah, there's no chat.
Like, even if you're online with a friend playing Splatoon, I can't talk to you. Yeah. But after the match, in between it, like, I can hit the D-pad and it'll say, like, good job.
Good job.
Yeah. Or, next time I win. Like, yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Next time this squid boy is going to win.
This squid boy is going to kick your ass. Oh.
You'll eat my shit.
You will eat my
shit. Is what that squid said.
Like, you are the ones who are the ball lickers. Anyway, can't say that on there. They'll ban you. But yeah.
I used to Instead of telling people who are rude to fuck themselves, I just used to tell everybody to have fun at dinner.
Is that your, like...
It just means go fuck yourself.
That's your secret code that only you know?
Like, hey, man.
Hey, have fun at dinner.
It was a good game. Have fun at dinner.
Go fuck yourself. It kind of sounds like you're threatening them in some way. Yeah, have fun at dinner. What the fuck does that mean? What does he mean?
Do you know where I'm going to eat?
Do you know where I'm going for dinner? What does he mean?
It was a good game. Yeah. Have fun at dinner.
Oh, no. But yeah, I think that's it for this episode. We've pretty much covered the history. And we didn't really talk about the N-Gage.
Sadly.
But oh well.
I'll have you know that I was looking at N-Gage prices on eBay not 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I'm looking at getting some weird shit.
You just want to get an N-Gage just to say you have an N-Gage.
Kind of want to play that shitty version of Tony Hawk that's on there.
I mean, you know, it's just weird because, like, it was like it jumped into a market that wasn't viable yet. And now, like...
Well, and the fact that you had to hold the phone to your head like a taco?
Yeah, you had to, like, hold it, like, sideways. And, like,
they called it, like, oh. And they tried to play it off in their marketing, like, side-talking.
Side-talking.
Like, no, that's not comfortable!
The fuck is this?
You ever held a book to your face?
And people would have, like, those flip phones for... Oh, man, just... Anyway, yeah...
I almost bought an N-Gage when they were new.
Yeah.
Because I looked at that and I was like, yo, it's a phone and a video game system.
Yeah.
And then I saw one in person and went, nope. No.
Wait, what's the thing? He's like, you were like, oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah, you talk through its side. Huh?
Pardon?
Oh, I'm going to leave now.
So I left that store and switched to T-Mobile and got a Sidekick. Just because they look badass. You just flip the thing out, like, bam!
Boom, Sidekick.
It totally looked like it was doing a fucking Chuck Norris fucking roundhouse. You're like, wooga!
But, you know, Nintendo went back to that, and they're doing phone development now, and it's been pretty, there's some things you can play now, can't you? Like, yeah, there's stuff that's out there right now. That you can
Mario Maker is Mario Maker a digital distribution thing.
Yeah, exactly, so.
You know, there's that Mario version of Puzzle and Dragons, you know, and that's on the phones in some territories now. Yeah. And, you know, there's a bunch of those, you know, Mario, all those Nintendo games that are coming to mobile markets this year. You know, they're having quite a bit of success. Like, I've heard that, you know, Splatoon's an online-only game.
Yeah.
From Nintendo.
Yeah.
That I've heard is doing really well.
Yeah.
Because they supported the fuck out of it with free DLC for almost a whole year.
Yeah.
Like, they did a really good job of, you know...
Yeah.
I think they get it.
Yeah, I think they finally do.
I think they get it.
I think they finally do, and they're coming down in their restrictions for content and stuff like that, for video, for content online. They kind of understand that it's not the devil anymore to have somebody play your fucking game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, it's just, it's weird. But yeah, I think that's it. We're all entering the online age, and one day we'll have to be online to play a game, just like Diablo 3.
You know, just like the Xbox One wanted you to.
Just like the Xbox One wanted you to.
And it's always on.
It's always on.
You know what's fucked up? You know, I realized recently, have we ever mentioned this, that I realized not too long ago when my internet went out that your Xbox One's basically useless when the internet goes out?
Yeah.
Because it pushes all your saves to the cloud.
It pushes all your saves
to the cloud. So I have no
saves. Yeah, and all your saves are gone. Yeah.
And, like, some of my games, like, I couldn't even play them without an internet connection. I was like, I thought we won.
When I thought we were won all, that. We were all mad about this.
When the internet was all angry and then we won. Oh, shit. We just lost harder, didn't we?
Oh, damn it. Like,
fuck.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that was, like, a mistake upon, like, it wasn't quite yet for that generation to, like, accept, like, oh, online all the time? Okay. Because eventually we're all just going to have a damn chip in our heads. Hopefully I'll be dead by then. But, you know, we'll all have a chip in our heads that, like, connect us to augmented reality and
God, hopefully I'll be dead.
Yeah, I don't want any of that. Hopefully reincarnation isn't a thing because I'll have to live through that garbage. So anyway,
as somebody who lost a good portion of his vision to the virtual boy,
nope. Yeah,
no
virtual reality. No, it's not. No, it isn't.
Coalescing red lines that are burning my eyes.
There's one game in that whole thing that's like virtual reality, and that's the robot punching game, and that was it.
Red Alarm wasn't so bad.
Red Alarm was, that was the other one. But, you know, it's like oh, it's virtual reality because you have two planes of existence on Wario. It's not virtual reality. That's 3D movement. That's not the same fucking thing.
It's fucking the art of fighting. Neo Geo's been doing this without fucking shitty red lines for a while. We're good.
I want somebody to take the parts of an Oculus and put it inside a Virtual Boy, just so they can have the head strapped with a Virtual Boy on top of it.
That's pretty badass.
I'd be all right. I'd be okay with that.
Wait, would the guts be Oculus parts and it would just look like a Virtual Boy?
It would just look like a Virtual Boy. Okay. That's it. That's all.
I was going to say, like, if it looks like an Oculus, but it's a Virtual Boy, that's like a shit sandwich.
No, that's garbage. It's like, you take it off, you just see red everywhere. Like, oh, what happened? No! I want to plug her social media, but I also want to end it right there. You wrote the podcast.
All right, follow me on Twitter at Hoss_Buddy. I talk to wrestlers.
You can follow us on Twitter at Video Destruct. You can also see us on Facebook at facebook.com/VideoDestruct and our website at VideoDestruct.com.
Does Eric have a Twitter?
Probably. I don't know what it is. So he doesn't know how to use Twitter, so I don't think he understands.
Well, I figure he's off for a couple of weeks.
That's why I took over the Twitter account for VideoDestruct, because he didn't understand how it worked.
I kept trying to explain hashtags to him. And it was like trying to explain my iPad to my grandmother.
Oh, man. But that's going to do it for this episode. Check us out on VideoDestruct.com. We're going to have some written content coming up there pretty soon.
Longie this week.
It was a bit of a long one because we had a short one last week.
We
made up for last week. Last week was only about 26 minutes.
So. We were only going to cover one of these services, but I figured they were so intertwined and so like...
Yeah, they kind of had to be.
They were so diametrically opposite, I thought it was a good idea for us to throw them together. So yeah, we'll have another one next week.
Yep.
Absolutely. And we should have some SD video coverage coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hot sweetness that's sweeping the internet, SD video.
Standard definition, baby.
I think we're going to, like...
It's like a novelty at this point.
I want to stick to this. I want to play the Mercenaries next week, and I want us to have a video.
Okay, cool, because you've been wanting to do Mercenaries since we did this format.
Yeah, so and I watched a video of some dudes playing the Mercenaries recently, and was like, fuck, man, I loved that game.
We'll do that, because I've never played any of the Mercenaries, so we'll do that next week.
The first one's the only good one. The second one's not great.
Well, whatever. We might do that this weekend or next week, so check us out next week. We're doing Mercenaries. It's confirmed. We can't possibly change it now unless we do Binary Domain.
Dude, what if we just posted a Binary Domain podcast next week?
Just all of a sudden?
That'd be all right.
Yeah, it'd be okay, because we never posted it. We'll see you guys next time.